Fine tingling greetings, everyone. Those tunes are courtesy of Bobby Mackey, and I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow.
Now today it's a different place, all the same with a new face, with strange mysteries hanging in the air. People in their sane minds swear they see you today. Are you looking for the love they took away? You couldn't bear the pain, so you took your life in the pouring rain.
Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers Podcast part of your morning, day, evening, night, graveyard shift. Whenever you listen, wherever you are listening from the hot desert to the cold mountaintops, from the sandy beach to tiny village and big cities and everything in between, it is greatly appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout out goes to...
And I may butcher some of these names, I'm sorry. And you'll definitely need your passport for this one, my friends. We have 5 different countries. Woohoo! Rawalpindi, Pakistan. Monterrey, Mexico. Rio Negro, Colombia. Skiatook, Oklahoma. Lower Hutt, New Zealand. And Billiton, Virginia. So right now we have like tornado winds and I'm up in the mountains. Reception's not as great as it can be, and where I get my music from, it just is not letting me do it. So we may have no music around this episode, and I hate that, but here we go. So I want to start things off by sadly announcing that the paranormal community did lose somebody recently. Kelly Fitzgerald. I had the pleasure of interviewing Kelly and having her on the podcast back in early 2023. So please, if you haven't checked out that episode, do so. It's episode 203 and it's titled Through the Eyes of a Medium featuring Kelly Fitzgerald. She had a lot to share and we had a great time doing that episode together. My heart and prayers and thoughts do go out to the Fitzgerald family and friends. She was definitely an awesome woman, and rest in peace, my friend. So, welcome to part 4 in my Dearest Mom series. Today, you are going to hear 3 letters, each from somebody different. Usually, it's all Grandpa Gerald, right? But it's different today. So, again, each letter is from somebody different, but all were written during the Second World War. So this takes us back into time, but before we do that, I need to talk about something really cool that happened to me, and this kind of feeds into the very first letter I'll read. So I was dropping off some consignment things for my mom at this antique store in Del Norte called the Golden Fleece, and I saw this really cool, pretty old-looking wooden long crate, and it was for ammo. And I believe it's from the 1950s, so definitely not World War II, which I was kind of keeping my fingers crossed, but still very cool nonetheless. And I definitely wanted it as soon as I saw how cool it was. And I thought that it would be really neat to store some of my veteran scarves in that. It's like, all right, guys and gals, which one do you want? Open it up and here we go. So the other thing that caught my eye was this really cool vintage American Legion hat that had the date 72 etched into it. The owner of the store, this really sweet woman, she tells me that the hat came with a letter and she was shocked to see that it was no longer there. We were searching for it and we see a folded paper on the ground behind some stuff by the wall, and we're both on our hands and knees trying to get this paper, praying that it's the letter and that somebody didn't steal it, you know, because you know people today. And she finally manages to grab it. We open it, and I swear, with the beautiful cursive handwriting, it could have been from my own grandfather, really. And it starts off with somewhere in the Philippines. And I start to get really excited because the date, my friends, was March 1945. So we're definitely in World War II territory here. And to say that I feel like that I had hit the jackpot is totally an understatement. I just could not believe my luck. And I want to read that letter to you right now. I don't have a name as it was not in an envelope, but boy, this is really neat stuff. So here we go. somewhere in the Philippines, March 4th, 1945. Happy birthday, my love. I hope you'll live forever and ever, and me with you. But that's something no one knows what will happen. But I still have, and always will, with all my heart. No one can change that. And darling baby, don't say that. I don't want to get even with you. I love you with all my heart, darling. Not for revenge, not for one minute have I thought bad of you. You have always been so dear to me. I can never hurt you, even if I wanted to. And Bonita, you have not been childish. It's just what's in your heart, honey. No one can change that. Love, Bonita, is one thing that is definitely in you. You feel something for that person, and even if you try to change it, you just can't. Why? I don't know. You tell me. But that's just the way I feel too. My love for you is so great, darling, that it hurts just to think of it. Don't be ashamed of yourself, mi vida. That can happen to anyone with a good heart. And no, darling, that doesn't scare me. Nothing that you say scares me. I love you so much more for the way you feel, and with all my heart and soul, I wish I could be with you when you feel like that. I know I will make you happy, and when you feel like crying, I would let you and try to comfort you in any way I know. Whatever, hoping, my darling, I want you to know that my love for you is forever. But I live so far. The day when I can see you again, then you'll know if my love for you is real or just a fake. Ali, my darling, you are not out of my mind for a moment. So wherever you are, darling, I'm always there with you. Even if you don't see me, I'm there. It's hard for me to admit, but when I talk to you or read your letters, a lump gets in my throat that wants to choke me. If that's not love, my darling, then I don't know what is. Tell me, my darling, if I can keep writing to you or shall we wait? But knowing that we are both in the same boat, loving each other, so I have to let you know about me, but if you want to wait a while, let me know. Let me know, my darling. Even if I miss your letters, if it's safer that way, I'll wait, but my love will be with you always. My heart cries for you. Someday, my darling, someday with God's permission, I know, my darling, that we belong together. You were meant for me and I for you. But in between, something happened. But I don't lose hopes and I'll never stop hoping. So, my darling, as much as I hate to close, I have to. It's late and I want this letter to go now, so you'll get it Monday. I have to go to the post office and mail it. All my love goes into this letter. Keep it, if anything, for consolation. I love you more than life itself. Good night, my darling. I love you. Please write soon. So, reading this letter, it's really quite obvious. I mean, to me anyways. It sounds like his lady, whether it was his girlfriend, fiance, wife, whatever, but the lady in his life wrote him a letter letting him know that she was unfortunately unfaithful, and that this man, who's overseas fighting in what would be the deadliest war conflict in history, but, you know, is obviously heartbroken of the betrayal, but this love is so incredibly strong for her that he forgives her immediately, doesn't try to make her feel bad, just really trying to comfort her in this entire letter, and is trying to prove his love to her, possibly competing with an unknown male who she may still have been seeing. Who knows what her letter said, right? I mean, was she lonely and seeked the company of somebody else and it turned romantic? Was it an old fling? I would like to think that it was a one-time thing, she had regret, and it never happened again. And she saw how much he loved her and wrote him back saying everything was okay and to please, yes, continue writing, not leaving him waiting like he was fearing. And I may not know his name, but I think it's safe to say that he did survive the Second World War, hence his letter in his 1972 American Legion hat. And perhaps this woman that he ever so loved, so much, saved this letter, and when it was time to donate stuff, she lovingly put it in that hat. And it fell into my hands, and that's what I think. But when I saw that date again, I just got really excited. 1945. I mean, I would have been happy with any letter because I knew it would have come from the heart. And I know how letters were so important to the military men and women back then. And I'm sure it still is today. So now I will continue on and I'm going to read a letter from my Grandpa Gerald, Corporal Gerald Morrow, V-Mail, Headquarters, 62nd Armored Field Artillery Battalion, January 22nd, 1944. Dearest Mom and Dad, I just got back from an 8-day furlough, which I spent in London yesterday. And while I was gone, I received quite a few letters, which stacked up on me. I've got so many to answer that I hardly know where to start. I want to write you a long letter and tell you all about my trip, but right now, lack the time, so must let this suffice. I will say here that I had a perfectly marvelous time in London, and the only thing wrong was that the furlough was much too short. But wait till this is all over. I'm going to make you and Pop take a trip with me, and we're going to see all the things and go to all the places where I've been. And it won't be for just 8 days. You might as well start planning on that right now, because I am pretty determined. I still haven't received the box with the camera in it, but a friend of mine has one that the film that I have received fits, and I have borrowed it and taken some shots, which I will send very shortly. Thanks a lot for sending me Ralph's address. I will write to him tonight, and I am sure that he and I will get together. Give my deepest love to all. Gerald. So that was a bit on the shorter side of a letter, and I really do have to say that I almost had a heart attack this morning when I've been writing this book about my grandpa, and I go into the document and I click on my gentleman soldier document, and it shows 0 pages. And at this point, I'm in 320 some pages or more. And so my heart kind of dropped and I started to semi-panic because I do get my letters from that. And also I've just been working on it for like over 2 years. And so I kind of flipped out for a second there, and eventually I was able to find it, but for a while there it was lost, and that had never happened before. And so anyways, that was just a little snafu, but it turned out okay. So while on furlough, my grandpa, he found himself in England, as we know, and he had met a really sweet, lovely couple named Bill and Elsie, and they became dear friends. And I have a lot of people who listen across the pond. I have a lot of listeners from London and in the England area in general, and I just scattered all over, and man, I really appreciate every single one of you guys and gals. And if anybody by any chance knows a Bill and Elsie who lived in Wykeham Park, Banbury, England, back in the World War II times, so this would be in 44 and 45 when they were writing letters, I just think that would be really interesting to learn about. So if you do or did know anybody back then, please let me know, or know somebody who knows somebody. Because yeah, I mean, it's just really cool. They were definitely a big part of my grandpa's life. They were kind of like his second family. And so I'd like to know more about them. They had promised my grandpa that they would write back home. So they would be writing to my great-grandparents. And this is the very first letter that they would receive, and many more would arrive. February 16th, 1944. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Morrow, some time ago I promised Jerry that I would write to you, so here is a letter at last. It is very difficult to find a beginning, and I will start off by saying that Jerry is very well, and he's in high spirits. He has had a severe cold, due, no doubt, to our foul weather, but he has fully recovered and is back to normal again. No doubt you are curious to how we met. Jerry was on duty just outside our home the first night he arrived here, and I passed him on my way out. On my return, I spoke to him and during our conversation found out that we had mutual interests. So it was only natural that my wife Elsie and I should invite him into the house for a cup of tea, an old British custom. We consider ourselves very fortunate in our choice, as it was a very dark night apart from the blackout, and I might have been talking to an ex-gangster from Chicago instead of an honest West Country boy, whose place is obviously back there in Walsenburg, instead of in this mad European zone. In order to further Anglo-American relationship, we invited Jerry to Christmas dinner. And we believe he had a more enjoyable time than the previous Christmas and was, no doubt, interested in our methods of celebration at this time of the year. He had visited us quite a number of times up to then and was rather quiet, but Christmas brought him out, and I believe he thought we were rather a mad crowd as our activities continued until 4 a.m. Jerry himself was partly to blame for this, as he taught us how to shoot dice and shout boxcar and snake eyes at the appropriate moment. It was all very good fun. Natalie and Martin, our little niece and nephew, were very thrilled with their Uncle Jerry, especially when he brought them a box of chocolates, the like of which we had not seen for 4 years. Shortly after Christmas, Jerry had an 8-day furlough and went to London. But unfortunately, the weather was not too good and curtailed his sightseeing, although he seemed quite content to take things easy and have a nice soft bed to lie in without having anyone to tell him when he had to get up. We had arranged to meet him in London that weekend, together with Elsie's sister, Wynn, and her brother, Stan, who had a 48-hour leave. We all met on Saturday and went to a show, after which we had supper. Ugh, what a rude rooster, man. Where was I? After which we had supper in town before leaving for Wynn's home at Woolwich, which is in the outer London area. Next day, Jerry left us to go to a picture show, and it was arranged that Elsie would stay overnight at Wynn's and meet Jerry on the Monday to show him the sights. I had to get back to Banbury for business on Monday morning, and Jerry said he would meet me in Charing Cross Station at 6:30 p.m., as I was catching the 8 to 10 p.m. train from London. It so happened that one of those amazing London fogs came down, and poor Jerry eventually rolled up at 8 p.m. after spending an exasperating 2 hours in the London tubes and getting more frantic every minute. He was certainly glad to see me, as it proved to be the worst fog London had experienced in 4 years. Traffic was almost at a standstill, and as there was little chance of getting across London in time to catch my train, we set off for Jerry's hotel, having decided I should stay the night there and travel to Banbury in the morning. It took 2 hours to get to the hotel instead of the usual 20 minutes. Next morning I went off at 8:30 and left Jerry to meet Elsie. Elsie was able to show him many interesting sights as she lived in London until the end of 1940 when we were married. I often wonder if she married me just to get out of the blitz of these days. Well, Jerry saw St. Paul's Cathedral, Westminster Abbey, the Houses of Parliament, the River Thames, and visited Madame Tussaud's famous waxwork exhibition. Before going to London, Jerry spent a weekend in Oxford and saw many of the colleges there. He has told us a lot about America and particularly Colorado, which seems to be the finest place in the world. We are very glad to have him visit us, and we will be sorry when he goes. As you would say in Colorado, he sure is a swell guy. Of course he is homesick, and we sincerely hope that when he does leave here, he will be heading for Walsenburg, where he can settle down and become a big operator after a 6-month vacation at Ojo Caliente. We have seen some photographs of Colorado, particularly the Royal Gorge, and it certainly seems a wonderful place. I hope that one day Elsie and I might be able to see it, and that day is not too far distant. I hope you received the photographs from Jerry, and please don't laugh too much at our little car. It is somewhat different to your high-powered automobiles, but it serves its purpose and is rather a treasure these days. Perhaps this war will soon be over when you will have Jerry with you again, and in the meantime, we hope it will be some comfort to you to know that he has found some friends here. Yours sincerely, Elsie and Bill Mitchell. So that was one really cool thing about my grandpa. He saved all of these letters, right? I mean, his parents saved the letters he wrote, but also these letters from Elsie and Bill. And I believe Bill was the writer. He would write all of this stuff. And it was really neat because in some of these letters, he talks about rations and different things and the blackout and just a lot of stuff that people were going through out there. And so, you know, in this book, you are hearing about the things going on from a World War II soldier. And then you're also hearing about London civilians who are dealing with it as well. You know, they might not be fighting the battle, but they're definitely in the battle and just really, really interesting stuff for sure. And so again, Bill and Elsie, a lot of letters coming from them. They became very close to my family because they would send each other boxes. Like, you know, back then out in World War II in certain areas, it was almost impossible to get cigarettes. Unheard of to get chocolate. And so it was really neat when they were able to get these things. So I hope you guys all enjoyed those three letters. One being from our mystery nameless soldier and praying everything went good with him and his lady, my grandfather, of course, and his dear friends, Bill and Elsie.
And that concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. Mwah. So make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They're all awesome. Haven't heard every single one yet? No need to worry. You can binge listen to your heart's fright and delight by hitting up any of those podcast platforms such as Pocket Cast, Blueberry, CastBox, Podcast Republic, Downcast, Google Podcast, basically wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Brothers Podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and
I will see you next week.